in Dubai. They even write in Chinese, bro. Like, imagine being hospitable to the level where you're writing in English, Arabic, Chinese, Russian, French. Yeah. You know, like, you just come here and you feel like you're welcome. We have a few red lines we don't cross. There are certain industries and certain brands that we don't work with. And that's known. And the entire market knows that. It's so important to niche down and offer that one service that you're like the best in. There's no one else that can compete with you in that specific service. People, they like to do business with people they like. Where people get it wrong is that they have that mindset, sell, 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 sell. Okay.
It's all about the money.
Everyone's
money.
Trying to sell, 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 sell. How are you going to be different?
All right. We have another podcast here with my friend, Ghazi. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
How are you doing?
All good. All good. Another sunny day.
Sunny day. It's getting even much hotter in Dubai.
You know, I'd rather hot weather over cold any day.
Even the winter here in Dubai?
Even the winter here in Dubai.
I always feel like the winter is the best weather here. Like, you can never find this good weather.
Yeah, it's amazing, but also like the sun. Like, I'm someone that loves the sun. I just get my energy, you know? And if it's like gloomy and raining or I don't know, snowy, zero energy.
So you're an entrepreneur as well with a marketing agency?
Yeah, so marketing agency, I won't call myself an entrepreneur, but now we do have a tech startup that's part of our Brand Me Summit. So that Brand Me Summit was actually a launch event for our startup. So Brand Me is a one-stop shop for any personal branding needs, A to Z.
We'll definitely talk more about that.
Yes.
I really have some good questions about the summit. I just want to go knowing about more about you in terms of in relation with Dubai. So what is that one thing you wish you would have known before starting your business here in Dubai?
One thing that I wished I knew. Look, Dubai makes it so simple for you to start a business. I started Bottle Flip in 6 hours with Ayman, you know? I don't think any other country in the world gives you that kind of speed, you know?
6 hours.
6 hours.
That's all you needed to get the license, everything.
Everything. Obviously, visas we had, so we didn't need the visa. But like, everything was done. 6 hours. Boom. Done. I had my first client with Ayman, you know? And we started like the bottom, you know? Some clients were taking advantage because we were just starting off. But we did an insane job that within the like 4 or 5 months after that, we had about 6-7 clients. And I wish I knew this before, but you always need to niche down. I mean, we did niche at the beginning, but we didn't do it based off strategy. We did it because we were really good at one thing, right? But understanding what I understand now is if you want to get started, it's so important to niche down and offer that one service that you're like the best in. There's no one else that can compete with you in that specific service. And it should be like a direct tell. You know what I mean? Like, I will get you, I don't know, 2 million views within the next 2 weeks or your money back. Something like that. Something that grabs the attention of potential clients, like, okay, what is he claiming? What is he doing? You know what I mean? So before, I used to just go like, oh, we go viral, we do your TikTok, we do this. No, I should have been doing it like a straight direct offer that is irresistible, you know?
Creating that, how do you say it again?
Irresistible offer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Irresistible offer for the client, where he cannot refuse.
Yeah, like you can even say this offer in 5 seconds and it's self-explanatory. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
I will get you 2 billion views in the next 2 months. Okay, wait, what do you mean? You know, why are you so confident about getting me 2 billion views? 2 billion views, like that.
I want to know it now. Yeah? Even.
I actually have a way and we're applying it right now and I'll share it with you. You want me to share it now?
No. Okay. We'll go later on the link. How do you find the pace of life here in Dubai? Because when I think about Dubai and me being as a local, I feel like it's very fast-paced compared to any other city in the world. 24 hours here feels like 12 hours.
Yes.
It doesn't feel like they cannot catch up.
There's 72 hours in a day. That's what I always like to say. No, I like it. Look, I'll tell you one thing. The nice thing about Dubai, it kind of gets you motivated to do more because everyone around you, everyone's here to make a living. Everyone's here to become more successful. Everyone's here to get that opportunity. So you're always on the lookout. You're always, you know, meeting interesting people. And what I like about Dubai, you meet people that push you up. And I've traveled a lot to other countries. When you meet someone there, you just see their energy like, yeah, like, what did you do today? Yeah, it was nice. What do you mean? Like, you know, I had some breakfast and then we went to the... It's, bro, I can't, you know? I always need to be around people that have the same mindset, that push me, that I will, like, just having a conversation, you know, will get me thinking in a different way. And this is what I love about Dubai, because people come here and they have an ambition. Like, no one comes to Dubai and goes like, okay, what next? They come to Dubai, they have already a plan. Like, what am I going to do next, you know? What kind of thing am I going to do next? So I like that about the city.
So would you say, like, well, what has been the most unexpected part of your journey here?
Unexpected?
Yeah.
So unexpected, I won't say unexpected. I would say, like, it is a challenging market. Like, having a diverse community from, I don't know, maybe 200 different nationalities, and this person likes this and that person likes that, it is hard, right? But alhamdulillah, because I grew up here, so I'm kind of used to that, you know, mentality. It's like local. I like to use this about Dubai. It's like, it's local but global at the same time.
How old were you when you were here?
I was young. Like, 1 year I came here, and then I stayed up to grade one, and then grade one I went back to Lebanon. That's when Ayman and my other brother were born. Yeah, they're only like 1 year apart. And then we came back here. But yeah, like almost all my life, you know, I lived here.
Since you mentioned your brother on this topic, can you tell us a little bit about your brother, Ayman, and his journey to the fame that he has?
Look, at first, he was creating videos and was, you know, fun and games and the COVID times, can't get out of the house. He's messing around with it.
It wasn't planned.
Funny enough, the first video that went viral wasn't about Ayman. And it wasn't the what you do for a living. No one knows this, actually. If you go scroll back on his TikTok, it's a video of me sitting on the couch, looking kind of sad. I didn't have my grooming that day or anything. And then he's like, this is my older brother. He broke his back. He lost his job. His girlfriend broke up with him on Valentine's.
He was just roasting you the
whole
time.
He was like on at it, you know? And none of it was true, right? He was just testing it out. He was making a joke out of it. That video went crazy viral. I started getting calls from the United States, from Europe. I'm walking on the streets. I went to the office. It was COVID, so you weren't able to go to the office that much, right? So everyone was like hugging me. Are you okay? You know, I'm so sorry. Like, you know, like, I'm here for you. I'm like, what are you talking about? They're like, bro, I saw that video. Like, what video? They just opened it up and I'm like, what? And what's going on?
You know? You didn't even know that video was
I didn't even know I even posted it. And from that point onwards, I was like, wait a second. That, like, I'm like, okay, this has potential, you know? So there, we just started brainstorming different ideas. Who he was, you know, filming some funny skits, doing some restaurant, you know, reviews, you know, here and there, just dabbling in a few things, seeing what makes sense for his audience. And something that went well for us before, the what you do for a living, we started, like, you know these sneakers? Limited edition drop sneakers from Nike, Adidas, whatever.
Easy.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, so the
Easy. Exactly.
But the Easy is Adidas though, right?
Nike and Adidas. Like, they're right. Sneakers from all of these brands. And we used to stand in line or get into these, there's these like giveaways that they do. And if your name comes up, you're allowed to buy it.
Mm.
So we used to participate in all of them, buy the shoes, And instead of just flipping it to anyone, because, okay, you'll make money, but you won't make a video out of it. We were like, no, we're only going to flip shoes to famous people. So we were on the hunt. And shout out to Chris Spade. You know, he was one of the first people to actually accept it. And it was weird, you know. I was like, okay, can we, you know, sell it to Chris Fade? Ayman was like, how am I going to get to him? I'm like, DM him. I was like, oh, he's not going to answer. I'm like, just whatever, try it, you know. Bro answered. Chris Fade answered. He was like, yeah, what size of shoe is that? And he's like, oh, I don't like the color. Ayman's like, listen, buddy, this is a limited edition drop. I'm going to sell it to you for 200 dirhams extra. You can sell it for 2,000 dirhams extra. I just want the video. That video for me is more valuable than this money. Chris Fade was like, all right, yeah, sure, let's run it.
So it was kind of like added value to
him. Yeah. He was like, okay.
I'm going to get free shoes. I'm going to, it's maybe a 200 dirham rather than being 2,000 dirham.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah. It was the we got the shoe for like 1,000 something, and we sold it for 1,400 or 1,500, whereas people were selling it for 3,000,
yeah.
4,000 dirhams.
Yes.
And these shoes is limited, so you can resell it. So he got excited. He's like, okay, he met us. He did like a few videos. He was so friendly, and I was like, you know what? Like, okay, that's really cool, you know? That was like the first time we interact with him. Very, very humble guy. Very, very humble.
I'm sure he is. I'm sure he is. He's been in Dubai for a long time, I believe.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. Crazy.
Virgin Radio. You hear his voice. I never thought he was Aussie. But now I like the accent. Yeah. He didn't look Aussie. I thought, usually Australians, I would look at their look.
They have a certain
type of look.
He
didn't look Aussie, but when I seen his face in real time, I'm like, oh, okay, this is Chris Fade. Okay, interesting. I got to meet him. I got to have him also on the podcast. That'll be interesting to have. But now let's get back to you and talking about your brother. Would you say his success influenced you in some way or another to start your own journey?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, we didn't start the agency until he got mega viral. And then the reason we started is because a lot of agencies and a lot of people out there were trying to take advantage. And me having a background in marketing, I was like, nah.
What kind of advantage you're talking about?
Like, you know, lowballing and the price, you know, these kind of things. And this happens in the market, right? Because if someone's just starting off, he doesn't know the market, don't have the experience on how much is the rate, how much you need to be getting paid for something, you know? So I already had the background in that because I did marketing and media and social media and all of that. So I was like, you know what? Let's do our own thing, you know? Like, we already have everything. Why should we, you know, be taken advantage of? So we really did it, and alhamdulillah, it worked out, you know?
I'm always curious about this question here that you know more maybe about this is that when it comes to influencer, what determines the amount that they can get from a brand deal, from a sponsorship?
I love this question. Look, with influencers, it's like an open market, okay? There is no one shoe fits all. It's just about perceived value and reach and engagement and follower count.
Okay.
Okay? Hala, akid, you'll tell me some people have crazy number of followers, but their engagement's low. Some of them might have fake followers. Some of them are just not on the grind and not posting regularly, so their engagement just organically goes down. Hala, for an influencer, I would say price it to a level where it's not too expensive for brands and it doesn't become a burden, but at the same time, you feel satisfied.
Well, the question is, what is expensive? Because if I think about it, like I think about myself, I might put a certain price range, like, okay, I'll charge maybe 15,000 for this one reel, for example. Let's just say that example.
Okay.
Another person will charge 30,000 and they might pay him. Another person will charge them 50,000 and they might pay him.
Yes.
So, but now the range, you see that, okay, this guy is 50,000, this one's 30,000, this one's 15, so, and they can be even lower, 2,000. You'll find people with influencers for 2,000. So how do you know what's your right price?
It's all about branding.
Branding.
And branding by associations. So how do you build up your profile, right? Are you on the media? Are you associated with big business figures or big other big influencers? Have you worked with huge brands before? Like, for example, sometimes you would even, you know, go a bit down with the negotiations of the price if you know that brand is going to add more value to your profile. And it's a big global brand. They're very picky with who they work with. And You know, I always like to keep it open in negotiations for the price. I go like, listen, I understand budget limitations. So if you do have another budget in mind, please share it with us and we'll figure out a way to work on the deliverables to make something that works for that budget. I don't say that we're going to give them a discount. And a lot of times we don't give them a discount. But let's say if they wanted 3 reels, we'll be like, okay, you know what? We can't do 3 reels. We can do 1 reel and we can do 1 TikTok. Does that work? No, yes, but listen, look, he has this and this and this. And on TikTok, he has this kind of audience. And on Instagram, there's this, you know? So it's just the way you frame it that you can really play with it, you know? Because it is a free market. It's not like you're selling rice or whatever, right? And it will take a learning curve where you find that sweet spot where brands just jump on you without negotiating, without really, you know, having back and forth and all that.
I'm going to go a little bit off the topic here. But let's say if you give me an example that I am this influencer.
Okay.
I got 37,000 followers. I reached multiple times millions of views in certain videos. I do for governments. I do for services.
Yeah.
Now, if you were to picture me as this person, how much worth would that be when it comes to dealing with brands? Minimum. When it comes to dealing with a certain,
then you
just
can,
from your judgment.
Yeah,
I gotta say exactly.
No,
one.
Yeah, you can push it in the other way where you're gonna be like, oh, there's production cost. Is production gonna be on me or you? Is editing gonna be on me?
Everything
or you?
On me, full production.
Okay, fair enough. So that's what I normally play with brands.
Yes.
So if they don't have a big budget, I'll be like, okay, fine. Production and editing is on you. And even sometimes I'll be like, okay, maybe it's not gonna be posted on our platform. You can just take the video and use it on your organically platform. Like, you can really play with it. Hala Anna, for me, I would say in the range between, and I've seen influencers with that number of followers, with that kind of like associations, with that kind of positioning in the market, you can charge anywhere between 8 to 15 to even 18,000 per video.
For sure.
And depends also on where they're going to be using it. Is there going to be distribution rights? Are they going to be using it as a sponsored ad? If yes, then you need to charge them like distribution rights for every month that they're going to be running as an ad. Because if you think about it, for them, they're using your credibility, because maybe on your platform, there's 37,000, right? But on UE Nation, which, am I allowed to say that?
Yeah.
On UE Nation, you're getting millions of views. Mm. So you're a familiar face and a trustworthy face. So if they're going to be using that to market and to sell, that costs money. You know what I mean?
True.
So even like for big corporations, like for them, paying that IP rights to be able to use that video in their ads is worth it for them, because you don't know how much they're going to be selling and they don't share that with you. And trust me, they sell. They wouldn't keep getting influencers if they're not getting a return
on investment for this.
And these guys, like, they have strict board members. Not even one dirham, $1 is spent without seeing like return, or someone's getting fired, bro. These guys don't play, don't mess. They're hardcore. So I believe if you're someone that you know your worth and you know that you are famous, even if your follower counts doesn't match, but you are getting the views, you are getting the engagement, go ahead and charge. And if they ask you, you tell them, listen, if you compare me to the market, you can't, because I have 1, 2, 3, 4 that are unique to me. And I have total views of this much, so I am more familiar face, and you can actually test it on the market. They have tools to do that. So yeah,
there's tools.
There are tools to test. So there's hype auditors. There's social listening tools. There's so many things, and even like on social media, you can just type your name, and then you can see what comes up. So there's so many things that you can actually track and go deep into the insights of someone. Not just follower counts, beyond follower count. That's nothing.
Now, going back into your brother, we'll talk definitely more about this. What is that one thing about Ayman that most people might not know, but you think they should know?
He's very approachable. Like, some people might get intimidated, like, you know, he has followers, and some people are like overly careful and cautious. I mean, he's a 20-year-old. He's chill, you know. He's not that formal at all, you know.
What's the difference age between you two?
7 years.
7 years.
All right.
Yeah. Does he see you as a person of a role model, like he follows up to, or does he have his own lifestyle? No.
He has his own lifestyle, but obviously, like us, we work as a unit. So there are things. I'm not saying I'm perfect. There are things that he gives me, like, yo, bro, you know, we should do this, we should do that. And there are things and times where I give him, you know, the input. So it's a give and take, you know. I'm not saying I'm an expert in everything, and I've learned a lot from the things that he's done. And also there are things that he didn't realize and that I kind of like had an input in, and he was like, okay, that's interesting, you know.
So in what ways would you say you guys support each other in your respective careers? You're the guy who's much of an entrepreneur, despite that you're not saying that, but I believe that you are. You are an entrepreneur. You're managing a business.
Yeah.
How does he support you in that? And how do you support him in his career as
an influencer? So we're partners in the business. So we have a social media agency, you know, events management company, and this tech startup, which is BrandMe. And we're also trying to move into other, you know, sectors. So we're integrating backwards. For him, you know, I kind of like also manage him, you know, like all the brand deals, all the follow-ups on the money, all the negotiations.
You're the personal manager.
Yeah, I do that for him. And I also manage other influencers as well, because they saw that my experience with Ayman, and they just reach out to like, yo, you know, we need a manager. I'm like, okay, fine. If I like the person and I find them, they have potential, then I accept.
Interesting.
You know?
How many people are you managing so far?
I'm managing a few. Yeah. All right. Like a handful, not more than that. But it's good, Yanni. That's good.
Would you say that most people who are influencers, do they need to reach out to the brand, or the brand reaches out to them?
See, both, right? You wouldn't get discovered if you don't have certain level of... If that's the direction you want to move in, which is working with brands, and that's the way you want to monetize your audience, then yes, you're going to have to start, at least at the beginning, start doing some free ads. I hate to say it.
Free ads for them.
Free ads. Do a few free ads. Okay. Send them that video. Be like, hey, buddy, I know you didn't ask me for an ad. I'm new to this field. I'm getting the audience. My audience is the real target audience that you want. This is the video. Let's open a discussion on how we can work together. Yeah. And you will see a lot of the brands will be very open.
And who are you connecting with? That's the question. Are you connecting them through Instagram, or are you connecting them through
LinkedIn? So Instagram is one. Look, for me, there is no such thing as too many channels. Okay? You need to circle them. And we do this because I'll tell you, not just brands. We do this with everything. You circle them. Wherever they go, they see you. On Instagram, on LinkedIn, in their office. Like, you need to really circle the brand and circle the customer. خلاص, then they know you're there. They have to answer. Because some of them are busy. Let's face it. A lot of people are just caught up with their world and everything. So how can you position yourself as top priority? It'd be an email. Try to get their number. Try to DM them on Instagram. Try to dig deeper, DM some of their colleagues. Try to, on LinkedIn, DM the brand directly. So that you will guarantee an answer.
And the videos that you said you made that as a free ad, do you post them before reaching out to them? Or is it like a sort of marketing yourself?
That's a strategy. So you can post it, and then other brands would see, and then they would get interested. Or you can just send it to the brand and be like, yo, I did this video. What do you think about it? So I would rather start with sending it first before posting, and then see how the conversation goes. And if it doesn't go like the way you expected, then just post it. Maybe do another ad if they didn't like that, the brand. You don't want to get them angry, right? Maybe do another ad and just post it. And then other brands would see that you're working with brands, and then they'll start reaching out to you.
One thing that I always think about when it comes to dealing with brands, I always think about my image of me as a person who's talking to my audience that I have. The audience, they trust me. They follow me because they like the value that I provide them. But if you're dealing with every type of brand that just comes in your way for the sake of money, it's like you're selling out yourself just to do as much advertising as you can and not provide maybe any value to the audience. What's your thoughts on that? Should people or should influencers be selective and not just because of the money or the brands that they work with?
Yes.
And how can, and another question is like, how they can make themselves feel they're not selling out themselves in a way?
Yeah. Try to, okay, get the brief from the client, but try to always have your own input because you know your audience better than the brand. And what I don't like about brands, or what I, not that I don't like, what I disagree with brands is they over-market it. Like they over-go and like, no, this needs to be like that. Dude, chill. It's not that deep. I promise you, it's not that deep. And if you give the content creators the flexibility to create something, obviously you can give them guidelines. I'm not saying don't give guidelines, but some of them, they over-suffocate you with guidelines. And when you get back to them, you're like, listen, this doesn't work for me, then don't be afraid to say no. Even if it's good, the money, you know? But if you're going to take that, then you're going to lose certain level of your credibility. And we have a few red lines we don't cross. Like, there are certain industries and certain brands that we don't work with. And that's known. And the entire market knows that. Because it just doesn't align with our values, doesn't align with our mission, doesn't align with our goals, right?
Well, what if it's like a brand that you use and much often, like whether it's a products or services, but you feel like you're still selling out to your audience in a way, like it's very ad-like sponsored post. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, hey guys, thank you for watching me, you know, but I know I have this ad sponsored product. You definitely have to try this. It's good for you. I use it myself. I feel like you're trying to like,
yeah,
if you're showcasing it's an ad.
If you're not lying and you really believe in the ad, then do it. And if you're comfortable doing it, then do it. But again, like it comes back to the brands giving more flexibility to content creators, because in the end of the day, it's not you who built the audience. It's the content creator. So they know exactly how to market it and they know exactly how to showcase your product or service or whatever. So that's on brands because they overanalyze and overmarket, and then it ends up looking like an ad and like you were saying, you know?
So there must be a special way where you make it seem, I think the talent here is more about how you can make a post that doesn't seem like an ad thing.
Yeah.
Like it's not an ad.
Organic for you.
It feels like something very natural, part of a video where it doesn't even feel like an ad. And people don't notice it was an ad.
Yeah.
I think
or
that's
even
the
if they
talent.
Know, they kind of like
they accept
entertained
yeah,
by watching
enjoying
it. And they enjoy
it.
Watching
yeah.
it. Yeah, exactly.
For sure.
Exactly.
For sure. One of the biggest example of a good ad that I've seen is for Yas Island. You know how they're doing Ryan Reynolds, they're bringing Jason Momoa. They bring those celebrities, but sometimes the ads feel engaging for you to even watch it. You feel like you're engaged. You want to watch those ads, despite that, you know, it's about Yas Island, it's about Walt Disney, Walt Parks over there. So, but you still enjoy it.
It's a good strategy that they're doing.
I think I saw one also ad where the girl was dancing. She's like in the theme park and she's dancing. But the way she danced and everything was very engaging for someone to watch, for kids to watch it and everything. So it's those true ads, they have a story, they have meaning. And that's where the talent is, I think. It's not easy to create the ad that it's just like posting it and then that's
it.
There's a lot of creativity that goes through it as an influencer.
100%.
Yeah.
And the influencers that can actually access that are the ones that will like excel at what they're doing.
For sure.
Like Khaled Al-Amiri, for example.
Yeah.
All his ads are like funny, you know? He has that humor element. You want to watch the video. You don't.
For sure.
You enjoy watching it, you know?
For sure. For sure. Let's go back into the topic of Dubai. I'm sure that you've heard many myths about Dubai, and there might be myths as you find it so ridiculous. Can you share an example that you heard about?
Like, you know, a lot of things, a lot of people say about Dubai, and everyone's like crazy rich. Everyone is, you know, born with a spoon of gold in their mouth. what they don't see behind doors. Like, what they're just seeing the end results sometimes, where what don't they see behind doors is everyone's grinding. Everyone's on that grind. Everyone's, you know, looking for that opportunity, and they're searching or even creating their own opportunities. And that's what I love about the city. Myth, yani, I don't know, man. Like, when I took one semester abroad in the States, and they kept asking me about camels or, you know, lavish lifestyle. I'm like, listen, buddy, like, okay, I know people that live like that, but there is also people that are living good life. That's, they're happy, they're safe, they're secure. You know, they can walk on the street at 4 a.m. and it's, you know, it's safe. You know, I know, like, as a man or even a woman, if you walk at 4 or 5 a.m. in the morning in the middle of the street, you're going to be extremely safe. Like, literally nothing's... And if anything happens, the police is there within 3 minutes.
You can't find this anywhere else.
You cannot find this in the entire world. Like, wow, you know?
Feeling that safety, yeah, I would 100% say after being in the United States and Australia,
You'll never feel
that so much safety that you have here. If you leave your phone on the table on a restaurant,
it will disappear.
It will disappear there. Maybe you go 1 minute by to the restroom and then they come out. It's pretty much gone. Or maybe
even if you give your phone to charge, and they'll just be like, "Can I get my phone back?"
You can't trust them.
And they'll be like, "What phone?"
Yeah, exactly.
It happened.
It happens.
It happened. You know, even like sometimes you feel like they're trying to scam you. You know, like you sit on a taxi or whatever. Oh, you know, $100. What do you mean $100? Yeah, $100.
But don't you find this interesting that we have over 200 nationalities here and it doesn't happen as much?
See, like, it all comes back to the leadership. It all comes back to the philosophy and why people come here. People are coming here for the same objective, to live a better life, to create a better life. When everyone comes in with that ideology and with that mentality, people are more willing to live that safety, you know? And they're not coming here to make problems. They're not coming here to steal. They're not coming here to you know, be violent or whatever.
Because this is where here they're trying to create that opportunity.
Exactly.
That they were dreaming for.
Exactly. So why are they going to come to this country and
ruin it?
Problems. Exactly. They're not here that for that objective. They're all coming here because they see a better life and they see a better future for themselves. So they're here to work. They're here to, you know, create opportunities, to make opportunities. And it's funny enough, I always like to say, and this, everyone says that, right? You keep knocking on doors, and if you can't find a door, you build a door. You know what I like to add to it? If you can't build a door, you knock down the entire wall. And I've seen this over and day in and day out in Dubai. You can make a dent. You can make an impact. And this is what I love about the city. Like, the opportunity is limitless. They used to say the American dream, and everyone wants to go to the States because it's the American dream. No.
Now it's the Dubai dream.
It's the Dubai dream, you know? That's what Dubai is all about. And in a very short time frame, like, it's just inspiring, you know?
What truths about Dubai do you wish people knew more?
People are kind. People are very kind here, you know? I've traveled to some countries and they're like, probably, I'm not going to say names, you know, but these countries and these cities are probably 3-4 in terms of tourism. They're still not hospitable. Like, for example, right? They don't write in English. They don't write in Arabic. Man, in Dubai, they even write in Chinese, bro. Like, imagine the level of being hospitable to the level where you're writing in English, Arabic, Chinese, Russian, French.
Yeah.
You know, like, you just come here and you feel like you're welcome. Other countries, you don't feel that. And imagine these are countries that are established for thousands and hundreds of years. And they still, when you go in and you start speaking in English or Arabic, they're just like, don't get me wrong, they know English. And they probably know Arabic as well. They just don't want to answer.
I've seen that happen.
Like, come on, bro. Come on. And I like that because it's like part of the Arabic traditions, part of the Muslim traditions, to be kind, to be generous. you don't find this, you know,
welcome the neighbors,
welcoming, yeah, like, you know, to the extent as Muslims, if someone came to you, you have to host them for 3 days before even asking them why you're here. Like, imagine to that level of respect you have for people.
I mean, kindness.
You don't find that anywhere else, man. You really don't find that anywhere else. They'll feed you your new clothes, you know, perfume, shower, whatever you want, you know? It's crazy.
What would you say if someone's ever going to come to Dubai? Like, what should they expect when moving to Dubai for business?
So people need to learn that you need to not diversify, but have a unique selling point. If you want to enter a market as competitive as Dubai and as like complex, because it is a complex market, like other markets, you would see, you know, one, like you're all from the same nationality, they all have the same upbringing, they all have the same ideologies and everything. Here, it's like a mix of anything you can think of. So you really need to be prepared from that angle. You need to also find that uniqueness that you have. Regardless in what industry you're in, you need to find that angle where you enter the market and people start to going like, okay, this person or this company is doing something cool, even if it's in the same domain.
So let's say if you're a marketing agency or an influencer starting out here in Dubai, what would you give advice?
Bro, I love this. I actually never shared this on any podcast, so this is exclusive to
exclusive only in Dubai Catch. There we go.
All right, so I was obsessed with this, you know, just seeing our journey, and some of our Ayman and I's journey was luck, but out of this luck, we created a formula, and it goes like this: connect yourself to the top. And what I mean by that, okay, you identify the top people in your industry, learn everything about them, watch every video, learn the vocabulary they do, learn where they go, learn where they hang out. And you can, if you do deep enough marketing or deep enough research about the person, you will find out these things. And then connect with them. As simple as even, you know, they go to this restaurant, you know, a lot. So start working out of there. You find them, go talk to them. And have something of value to offer free of charge. This is called in sales, one foot in the door. Okay? And be valuable, as simple as maybe just doing a podcast with them. As simple as maybe telling them, okay, you know what? I'm going to be offering you 1, 2, 3 free. And see the kind of people and the kind of response you'll get when you do that. And the credibility you build for yourself when you do that. Because people, they like to do business with people they like. And where people get it wrong is that they have that mindset, sell, 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 sell. Okay.
It's all about the money.
Everyone's trying to sell, 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 sell. How are you going to be different? For example, we have the What You Do For A Living video that we kind of connect with people with. We have the talk show that we connect with people with. We have like some events that we throw that are free that we connect with people with, right? So we give value. You can't expect to take without giving first. It's just one rule of life. And it applies to everything, you know? So I feel that that would give you an edge. And it's literally connect yourself to the top. Have that list. Learn it really well. And even in conversation, drop these words. Like, I don't know, maybe you are interested in person X, you know, to do business or to connect with them even. Watch all their talk shows, watch all the podcasts that they're on, watch all the TV interviews, and to see that level of words and the way they talk, when you meet them, mirror that. They're going to be very receptive to you. I guarantee.
Sure. This is more about human psychology.
Yeah, and it goes in line with sales, with business, with building your credibility, building your, you know, your authority in that field. So that's how I would start.
Now, going into back, you mentioned about the summit you've done. You did the Brand Me Summit. Very successful, that I see from my point of view.
Inshallah, number two.
There was a lot of hard work.
You will get an invite. You will get a...
For sure.
Front row VIP. You know?
Thank you. So in terms of that summit that you've done, what was the reason that you, Ghazi, wanted to make this summit?
So this was me and Ayman. Okay. So it went like this, right? We asked them, what do you do for a living? Then we got them on the talk show because of the comments. They were like, oh, but how did this person become successful in real estate? How did they do media? How did they do a tech startup? How did they sell puppies? I don't know, right? So we got them on the talk show. And then people were like, no, 1 hour with this person is not enough. We want another part two. We're like, no part two. We're going to get them in real life in front of you. You can interact with them. You can connect with them. You can ask them your questions. What do you think about that? And our vision was, we want people to come to the Brand Me Summit, and we want people to say, I started my business at the Brand Me Summit. I connected with my investor at the Brand Me Summit. I got inspired and I changed my career at the Brand Me Summit. That was the whole concept behind it. And we realized early on that the shift in the market and the most successful companies from day one, I love to say this, from day one, man, the level of the level where we're at in technology and this thing, you have the skills and tools to be successful from day one. What I mean by that, it's called personal branding. That's why it's called Brand Me Summit. So even if you don't have a business idea, even if you don't have anything, start building your presence on social media. Start creating content about something you're passionate about. Start having a voice. Start, you know, creating value. Again, one foot in the door. When people know you, they're more interested to do business with you. When you have an audience, new opportunities are open for you, you know? So that is the best strategy of this century to become big. And there is going to be a shift from brand centric businesses to people centric businesses. So I even would argue that people are going to move towards being contentpreneurs, not just entrepreneurs.
Contentpreneurs.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, exactly. So you're going to start with building that audience. Okay. Obviously, when I say successful from day one of starting the business, but you started way long before that. Work on yourself, build your audience, build your presence, get your voice, get your influence, get your authority, get your credibility. How do you do that? Like, we have the most powerful device that was ever created in mankind, not Apple, but phones in general. And we're just wasting our time scrolling. And then you ask me, oh, well, I don't have an opportunity. Well, what are you going to do in your life? I don't know. I don't have an opportunity. Come on. You have it. Just open the camera, start. You don't know how to do that? Learn. The information is there. Follow the top 100 accounts. You're interested in cars? Follow the top 100 car accounts. You're interested in cooking? Follow the top 100 cooking accounts. Start learning. It's like riding a bike.
You gave a lot of advice. I think so many people can take different actions with this, for sure. There's so many ways you can think about it and how you can start. So to conclude with that is basically you saying that instead of watching what other people do, you go out there and do what you need to do.
Yeah. You know how they say just do it, like Nike or whatever? I don't agree with that. I say do it now. Because you can just do it eventually, but... You're ready.
Do it now.
Yeah.
Start now.
Do it now. Don't think. Do it. Exactly. And then think later, you know?
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that advice. Now, going into you as yourself, Ghazi, where do you see yourself and your marketing agency in the future, just before we conclude this session?
So we're moving away from being an agency. We're more of a consultancy, because now we even are going to go revamp your entire marketing structure, even hire the team for you, and give them the ropes. And then when we're done, your company needs to run, needs to be self-sufficient.
All right. So you're like training and developing this team that they can just
still take. It's
still take over.
Yeah,
whatever work
team.
You do.
Yeah. So that one aspect. Another aspect is we're integrating backwards, whether it's in tech. So Brand Me Summit is a summit, but there is also a platform. Whether it's in the clothing industry, whether it's in the properties and real estate. So we're trying to find where our strongest suit and where our audience lies, and what is the most thing that our audience is interested in and we're passionate about, and we're just integrating backwards. So instead of working for clients, we become the client. That was always my ideology, you know. For example, I wasn't invited in podcasts before. I created my own podcast. The other agencies was trying to, take advantage of that. We became our own agency. We didn't have a stage. So, I was trying to get invited to talk on stages and these kind of things. That didn't happen. We created our own stage. So when I say that I knocked down the entire wall, I mean it. Like, you really need to be aggressive in the way and your strategies, and you need to be brave and bold. And that's the only way that you will differentiate yourself in the market. And that comes back to that question that you asked me, boldness is a big one. Some people try to, I'll start small and I'll do that. No.
Similar to what your brother said when you interviewed Will Smith, be fearless.
Be big, be bold, get on that concept and hammer down. Like, think of the biggest thing you can do in that concept and then do it. And then overnight you will see like massive noise that you will make. People will notice. Big people will notice.
Well, Ozzy, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks so much.
Really. And just to conclude with the final question here is like, how can listeners connect with you further?
My socials.
What is your...
Ghazi_Yaman.
Do you have anything else?
I have Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn.
What's your LinkedIn?
Ghazi Yaman.
Maybe you can spell it and tell the people.
Ghazi, Ghazi. My Instagram is with a Y. My LinkedIn is with an I. El Yaman.
All right.
So that's my LinkedIn. I take pride in responding to all inquiries, whether it's me, whether it's my team. But I genuinely like to respond because I was there, and not getting a response is a letdown. Even if I get a negative response, I still got a response. So yeah.
Thank you very much, Ghazi. Really appreciate it. I think I learned a lot about myself as an influencer from this. Definitely having
Thank
more
you
talks
so much,
for sure.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.